Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. Gents, we are gathered here today to lay to rest Breggy Watch. Breggy Watch was 15 weeks old and yet seemed like it was 15 years. So if you'll indulge me just a little bit, let me set the mood. Guys, it's over. We have a resolution. Bregman takes 3 years, $120 million to hit him off the Green Monster or over the Green Monster. We wondered if Scott Boras had lost his touch. Had he overestimated Breggy's market? He clearly did not. So I have to ask you now, there's been a lot of criticisms about, you know, Breggy being greedy through this process and maybe he should just take the deal that was on the table for Houston because it was a very reasonable deal. Does, now that we know what the final deal is, does the size of this deal take away some of those sharper criticisms that Breggy's taking this deal to leave Houston, to leave a team that he earned so many championships with?
I don't think his objective was ever to leave Houston. He did not like the way the Astros treated him in these negotiations. 6 years, $156 million, take it or leave it? If there was some sweetening at the end, obviously not enough for Team Bregman's taste. It's free agency. Many greater players than Alex Bregman have moved on. Bregman's been an outstanding player. Hadn't been a great player in a while, but it goes down as somewhere in the range of a top 10 Astro of all time, given the team success during his tenure here. So hard feelings from either side. If so, they'll pass. 3 years, $120 million, collapsing down evidently to roughly 3 years, $90 million because of deferrals. But no way were the Astros going to go to $30 million per year on Alex Bregman. So it took a long time. Bregman clearly is a winner. The 2025 season and beyond will dictate whether the Astros are both perceived as by the fans and in reality by team performance, the losers.
I think this makes them look much worse. And the reason I say that is ideally you want to only be on the hook for Bregman for a 3-year deal. That's at his age. It would be nice if that's all you had to guarantee that you had to pay for. That's why I'm so just unhappy with Jim Crane, because I think Dana Brown was all in on this. I think he wanted Bregman. I think this is a Jim Crane negotiation ego thing where, oh, I don't want to take a deal from Boras. We're just, like Charlie said, we're going to give you a take it or leave it deal, or that's that. It's like, why not negotiate? You're in this Goldilocks syndrome with no negotiations with Crane now to, we won't do high AAV deals because they have opt-outs. We won't deal with that. But we also won't do long-term deals for $200 million either. So it's Crane basically just picking guys that are at cheaper positions, like first base, guys that are a little past their prime, like Walker, Michael Brantley, Abreu. That seems to be the only way that they're going to spend any money, unless it's a younger guy where they offer to do a team-friendly deal where they're buying up arbitration to get paid early. And I just, the way baseball's changing now, You got to evolve here, Jim Crane. Who's going to want to come and play here for that? You got to move it forward. These guys, if they want an opt-out, who cares? Then you go back to the drawing board. You got them for that one good year. But you can't just have this Goldilocks thing where it has to be just right. We're in just this little window, and that's all we're going to pay. I think they made a huge mistake here. I think Bregman would have come back. Having him for the next 3 years would have been fantastic. I look at this team, and you can't tell me that going from Correa, Bregman, and Kyle Tucker to Jeremy Pena, Paredes, and Chaz McCormick, you are much, much worse.
Look, Crane was right about Springer. He was right about Correa. Keeping in mind, they offered Correa 5 years, $160 million. Doesn't mean he's going to be right about Bregman. And over time, the compound interest of losing talent after talent after talent. We've seen the Astros decline for 2 years now, managed to win the division, be in the playoffs both times, but the trend is in the wrong direction, and the talent needle certainly has pointed down again from 2024 to 2025. But if Bregman would have taken 3 years, $90 million with the Astros, right? No deferrals, 3 years, $90 million, if that's how the contract is going to be evaluated for the CBT with the Red Sox. $30 million would have blown the Astros past the second tax threshold. So Bregman's contract would have been $30 million, penalties with it, an additional $8 million plus. Now, as we've discussed Astros' financial issues, it's always fair to wonder or to hold Jim Crane's feet to the fire if it's one's individual opinion that, hey, buddy, you paid $610 million for the team. You could sell it for $3 billion. Why are you quibbling over $5 million here, $10 million there? Because he's a businessman as well as a baseball owner. But I think where this really circles back to is the Astros player payroll, the 26-man roster for 2025, right now sits at about $145 million. Well, they're stuck with $66 million. They're basically paying baseball corpses. Abreu, Montero, McCullers, Javier, the paydown of Presley. So those terrible decisions, along with some misfortune involved, come home to roost now, and it absolutely hamstrung their financial flexibility, in their view, their self-imposed salary cap, how they wanted to handle things going forward. And is this the tipping point? And in 2025, the Astros missed the playoffs? It's certainly in play, as is their soldiering on and winning another division, or at least getting back to the postseason for a ninth consecutive year.
Well, let me piggyback off what you just said, because, you know, obviously we have ad nauseum covered the mistakes, the winter of terror that of Jim Crane extending Rafael Montero and signing Jose Abreu to those deals that are still, as you said, hamstringing them financially here. Let's pretend in a vacuum that didn't happen or happened differently. Let's say they were only 2-year deals as opposed to 3-year deals. And so now that money's off the books. Under that scenario, would this deal make sense for Houston? Or is this still too spicy of a deal for a guy who has, to your point, declining numbers?
I think they would have been more open to the 3-year deal. But look, the Red Sox grossly overpaid. Alex Bregman hasn't been an all-star, much less a franchise-level player, in 5 years. And for those who are really angry at Alex Bregman, at least he didn't go to the Yankees, goes to the Red Sox. Boy, Yankee fans are really going to love Breggy now. But Jim Crane has had his fiscal discipline, the way he's viewed things. In a shorter-term deal, 3 years, $30 million, he might have considered it. But Bregman, you know, when the numbers first surfaced, if it wouldn't make a mess, I'd do the spit take that I kind of did last night when it was 3 years, $120 million before we heard the deferral factor. You know, at $40 million, Alex Bregman is making more in 2025 than Yordan Alvarez and Framber Valdez combined, right? He's making close to triple, now 2.5 times what Kyle Tucker will make in his last year before free agency. Alex Bregman is a clearly inferior player to all of those guys in importance for the 2025 Astros, the two that are here and now the two that are not here. I do hope that Jim Crane himself, on a decision of this magnitude, at least elaborates upon his financial thinking for the Astros. I mean, he has said we run it like a business. Business has been really good. Right? The Astros haven't been losing money in recent years, even with some record high payrolls. But attendance down. Network TV contracts might be actually going down after this season. The money the Astros were getting from the prior regional sports network, Space City Houston, not as lucrative at this point. But again, you can say those are all rounding errors. A $610 million investment worth $3 billion. Why wouldn't you try to squeeze every last drop out of this era, of which Bregman obviously has been such an integral part? But, you know, at times you're gonna fold your hand. You're going to say, too rich for our blood. And over time, I expect to be proven right. We'll see.
Yeah, certainly Montero and Abreu played a factor in this, but here's my problem. This isn't the Springer deal. This isn't the Kyle Tucker deal. These were short-term deals. Even going back to Correa, Correa signed for 3 years, 105. Bregman signed for 3 years, 120. You didn't have to go to the, that's what we kept hearing. Oh, he's not paying $400 million. He's not paying until this guy's 38 years old. Okay, cool. But I think this is just a pride thing where he didn't want to deal with how Boris wanted to put this deal together with some opt-outs in it. I think he's just negotiating on outdated terms. The Astros aren't a ball club anymore that are a team that where you're like, oh, they could win the World Series this year. They're a team where you're like, yeah, they'll probably win the division and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. They're not what they were a few years ago. People aren't going to take way less money to come here. Even their own players aren't going to take way less money to stay unless, you know, you're Altuve. He's really the only one that's done that. And I would pose this question, even not even just Montero and Abreu, but what about Hader? Would you? We said when they signed Hader last year, we're cool with it as long as this doesn't keep them from bringing back Bregman or you know, going after somebody like that, a home, you know, Kyle Tucker. That's what we said. Oh, if it keeps them from Tucker or Bregman, then don't bring in Hader. Well, I mean, right now, would you rather have Hader on 5 years, $95 million, or Bregman on 3 years, $120 million? To me, it's not even close. I'd rather have Bregman because you didn't have to get rid of Presley. He would still been under contract this year. And you could say, oh, well, Presley was falling off. Well, A, Presley was better than Hader last year. B, he might have pitched a lot better if you didn't change his role and move him to the setup spot to where he had to readjust to what he was doing. And he took the confidence hit. So I think they completely mismanaged all of this.
Yeah, Josh, you make a great point. Guts poker only works if you have the goods. You know, you can play tough and negotiate tough if you know, hey, I can backfill this position. The Astros are not set up to backfill these positions. And Charlie, you mentioned the fans and their reaction. The good news for Bregy is now that he'll no longer be labeled a cheater, obviously, because Boston, who was found guilty of sign stealing in 2018, they're not held to the same account as Houston. So all that will get washed away. Speaking of fan perspective, I've seen a lot of criticisms that Dana Brown has been fielding. Like some of them feel like the fan base got strung along. But as Chandler Rome has pointed out, the CBA precludes Brown from stating that they were ever definitively out on Bregman as a free agent. So Brown was always the one to throw cold water on it, and I think probably navigated that as probably well as he could. Okay, so Charlie, you mentioned that this is a big overpay for Boston here. And the truth is, it's a gamble for both Boston and Bregy. They are both counting on him to replicate past production offensively in Fenway. And then should he move positions, they are gambling that there isn't a drop off in defense. So from both of your perspectives, give me your thoughts on this decision by both parties and what a best and worst case scenario looks like for them.
Well, for Bregman, zero risk. If he has a catastrophic injury, his decline accelerates, he just opts in. The Red Sox are on the hook for $40 million in 26, $40 million in 2027. Lance McCullers' contract would look cheap by comparison. But while Bregman has declined, he's still been a very good player. And the Red Sox, desperate. In the American League East, over the last five seasons, they finished last three of the five times. 2024, they were an also-ran, 78 and 84. The outlier season within there was when they lost the ALCS to the Astros in 2021. They have an elite, maybe the best second base prospect in all the minor leagues, a guy named Christian Campbell, who is now blocked in the scenario of Bregman going to second base. The Red Sox do have flexibility, but you look at Boston's last mega contracts, and most of them have been terrible. Chris Sale's extension, Trevor Story, who they're stuck with for another 3 years. And Rafael Devers, who's a masher offensively, a bad defensive third baseman. Might the Red Sox, who are paying him $30, $31 million per year for another 7-8 years, say, sell it to him. You're our new big poppy. How about a lot of DHing for you so we keep the gold glove guy at third base? Tristan Casas is a young and cheap and mashing first baseman who missed a lot of 2020-24 injured. Well, what if they go to Seattle and say, hey, you want Tristan Casas for one of your starting pitchers? And Rafael Devers, here's a first base glove. Bregman does open up a lot of options for them. And as we talk about Crane and finances, Red Sox fans have been killing ownership there the last couple, 3 years for being cheap. After they carried top-end payrolls for 15, 20 years, along with winning four World Series over that span, they've been cutting back. Their ownership is loaded. They own a Formula One team. They own an English Premier Soccer League team. They own the Pittsburgh Penguins. And they're in Boston, a rich baseball mad market where the Red Sox relevance has actually slipped with the Celtics being great. The Bruins, that's hockey, but in Boston, they actually matter. Of course, the Patriots are fading too. So Boston decided, okay, we're going to appease our fans. We'll take the downside risk of Bregman because there does come upside and there is value in being very good, even if you're being paid as great when you are the Red Sox, who are not quite the Yankees and Dodgers financially, but they're in the next cut And this is where I would add the Astros are closer to the Red Sox financially than the Red Sox are to the Yankees and Dodgers.
I don't think it's much of a gamble for Boston. This isn't like the Altuve deal where you're paying the guy until he's 39 years old. It's a 3-year contract. And who knows? If Bregman has a huge year, he could opt out and then he's not even there anymore. So I don't see it as that big a risk. And just like the feeling around this, Garrett Crochet on Bregman, this is pretty bleeping cool. I can admit that now. This is a big ad for these guys. And the other one I look at too, I'm just like, you can sell that to your fans in Boston, right? Like, we went out and got Alex Bregman. We want to be better this year. We want to compete in the division. For me, if the Astros, what is going to be their sales promotion for this year? We have a short porch in left field that might make Paredes better again, and we play in a crappy division. Astros baseball, get your season tickets now. I mean, that's if the Astros were in any other division, we'd feel very differently about the makeup of this ball club.
I would add that over the last two seasons, Isak Paredes, for his time played offensively, basically as good as Alex Bregman. And for those who are really down on, man, the Astros are heading the wrong direction, or Breggy, you abandoned us. Here you go. Make of it what you will. Alex Bregman, 2017 through 2019, was a superstar, right? Those three seasons, his first three full big league seasons. 2017, he was really good. 2018, awesome. 2019, more awesome. Well, 2017 and 2018 is when the Astros were cheating. 2019 was the juiced ball year when Alex Bregman hit 41 home runs. He hasn't come close to 30 since. And if you want to poo-poo the juiced ball, reminder, in 2019 when Bregman hit 41, Yuli freaking Gurriel hit 31. He was hitting balls out into the right field seats the opposite way. Yuli never hit 20 in any other season. 2017, 18, 19, Alex Bregman, a .289 hitter, with an OPS over 900. The five seasons since, he's a .261 hitter with an OPS of 795, which is still a very good ball player. It damn sure isn't a $40 million per year ball player anywhere near it, unless someone is willing to pay you. And the Red Sox were.
Speaking of promotions, Christian Walker bobblehead anyone? And I guess, Josh, to your point, isn't part of the selling point for Boston also not only that they added Breggy, but that they took him away from Houston until last year? The AL had to run through for 7 years, ran through Houston. So you're telling your fan base, we're willing to spend on a guy who we think is going to be an important piece of us. And we also took him away from a team that's terrorized the AL over the past seven seasons. And let's put aside the inconsistent offensive production, which has been the biggest knock on Bregman along with age. He was a fantastic third baseman for Houston, a vocal leader on and off the field. We always wonder and kind of pontificate about the value of that leadership and chemistry and whether that leads to tangible success on the field. Now that he's gone, what's your concern level for the loss of leadership as it pertains to Houston and one more piece of that championship core now being gone?
It doesn't help. I don't think it should be devastating. Intangibles only matter if they're in support of tangibles. Well, Bregman was a tangibly very good player. I think there's a very good chance that Isak Paredes replaces his offensive production just fine. But the defensive drop-off at third base is going to be significant. And if the Astros get off to a slow start in 2025, anything near the way they did in 2024, I think that the tenor's going to be kind of nasty around here. Not New York, Philadelphia, Boston nasty, but for Houston. Of course, let's remember, part of the Astros sucking out of the gate was Alex Bregman was sucking out of the gate the first 6 weeks of last season. So winning as the best deodorant, you know, Dallas Mavericks dealing with the Luka Doncic fallout, if they somehow wound up in the NBA Finals this year, that would smooth over a lot of the hard feelings. Not all of them. Well, if the Astros are back in the playoffs, I'm hoping they play the Red Sox in the first round.
Yeah, the leadership's part of it for sure. Especially the way he helped the pitching staff last year, seemingly kind of fixed Hunter Brown. I think that's part of it too, but it's also the wow factor when you're facing another team. Like Bregman, if you're going against Bregman in a big game, like, you know, this guy is a champion. He's won before. You know, with Paredes, you know, who knows? I hope he's great. I'm an Astros fan, but he was awful for the Cubs last year. And hopefully getting into a better ballpark is good. But if you look at his advanced metrics, he doesn't hit the ball all that hard either. He's kind of a one-trick pony when it comes to pulling the ball. And when you're that type of hitter, you can often really be hurt by breaking balls because you're looking to yank fastballs. So we'll see how that develops. But I just look at the drop-off if you're an opposing pitcher. You know, like I said, Peña, Paredes, and McCormick versus Correa, Bregman, and Tucker. I get you can't keep everybody, but Bregman and Tucker could have been here this year. That could have been a possibility, but they decided to go another way. But to put on top of that, this trend is this trend. Framber Valdez, I think, by Framber after this year. I don't see any way. They let everybody walk except for Altuve. So this is going to continue, and maybe that's the right move. I'm not necessarily sure paying Framber whatever he's going to get is the right move either, but it also depends on Hunter Brown. Does he keep pitching like he did last year? Does Christian Javier come back in 2026 and pitch like he's capable of? There's a lot of ifs here. Blanco, can he have a year like he had last year again? So there's a lot up in the air, and I know I'm pretty negative today, and it's mostly just about team philosophy. It's not just about Bregman. It's about what keeps happening and Jim Crane sticking to this philosophy when baseball's evolving. People are deferring money. They're taking opt-out deals, or they're getting $700 million deals for 10 years. That kind of seems where it's headed, and their farm system is terrible. So I just don't see a lot of guys that you're going to bring up. And what if you miss on Cam Smith? What if he's Forrest Whitley? You know, this is all a possibility. Whitley's been around for almost a decade and had done anything in the big leagues. You know, first round picks miss from time to time. So I hope they play well. They do have that advantage in the poor division. They do have some really good players still. But Dana Brown coming out today at spring training, you would think he'd be excited, like, yeah, pitchers and catchers, we're going, new baseball season. He looked like he was about to cry. He was so, if you watch that video, oh my Lord, he looked so disappointed, didn't even want to talk about Bregman at all, and then talked about how strong they think the outfield's going to be this year. Like, oh, we picked up Gamble and we got Chaz and we got Myers. You should have seen Chaz at batting practice yesterday. Chaz at batting practice yesterday? That's what we're going with? I just almost... Dana knows what's up. I think Jim Crane's kind of in some fantasy land thinking it's still 2019 and Jeff Luno's got all these great prospects that'll be coming up.
Yeah, if they don't get the pipeline flowing again with real talent, the critical mass of talent lost at the big league level at some point is going to sink the ship, or at least have enough water coming on board that it's taking you down. Paredes, man-to-man, has a chance to replicate Bregman's offensive production. But in the overall lineup in this scenario, had Bregman come back and you shuffled around, and where's Altuve playing? As of right now, they have 600 plate appearances that go from Alex Bregman to the Dubon, Gamble, Taylor Trammell poo-poo platter of bad offensive players. And that's not making the 2025 Astros better.
I want to touch on a couple of things that you guys said. Josh, first, I think your point about the aura of a player like Bregman is real, because the numbers be damned, whether he's having a good season or a bad season or a slow start or a fast start, if you're a pitcher in a big moment, you do not want to see Alex Bregman up there at the plate. And Charlie, I think your points about the mood of the fan base is an interesting one. Other fan bases are nastier, but you know what they do? They show up to boo their teams. And Houston, they do not fill seats for bad teams. That's just the historic facts here. So you run the risk of losing the fan base, and ask the Rockets. It's hard to get them back once you lose them. Any final thoughts before we're out the door on this episode, guys?
Yeah, anyone reaching for the ripcord on the 2025 Astros season because you think it's a lost cause? Nope. And even if it's because they're swimming with guppies as opposed to sharks within the American League West, that's the body of water. And they're still clearly capable of winning it. At worst at this point, it's a dead heat, three-team race, Rangers, Mariners, Astros. On Bregman, who will always have a place in Astros lore, though now clearly never a statue outside Daikin Park, I will remind, across nearly 70 LCS and World Series games, 196 batting average. So that he was relentlessly clutch in the postseason, not true. And we know that he's habitually gotten off to feeble starts to his season. I recommend he breaks that trend, because I'm not sure they'd be all that patient at Fenway if May 10th Alex Bregman wakes up batting 198 this year.
That's fair. But they got bounced last year in the playoffs because they couldn't hit. This offense is a worse offensive lineup now, in my opinion, especially with the outfield situation, what it is. And like Charlie mentioned, you know, if Altuve does play left field, you're getting Dubon in there, your defense will get better, but the offense is just going to be meh. I think that the top thing was Dana Brown saying Alex Bregman is the top priority this offseason. He ended up signing a 3-year deal, and that's usually Crane's thing. I don't want to be paying a guy till he's 40. So you could have had Bregman for these next 3 years when he should be pretty good. And they decided they didn't want to go that way. So we'll see ultimately if they made the right decision. But this is where we're at. I would have liked it for 3 years. I think we would have thought Bregman would come back. And finally, Josh Hader, you better be good this year, because I think this is a big reason that they did not pay Bregman. It was because they committed that money to Hader. He was bad last year. And if he's this bad again, the fans, they're not going to let that go. He's going to hear it this year. And he should. And it's not his fault. That's the money he was offered and he took it. But they allocated that money to him and let Bregman walk. Fans are going to remember that.
My final thought is not really about Bregman per se. It's just about how lucky this city is to have a Jose Altuve, a guy who has shown nothing but class while being made the face of a team that was scapegoated for what in retrospect might be one of the most overblown sports scandals in modern history. He goes into every city, gets booed, and all he does is keep his head down, rake in the clutch, grind his way closer and closer to the Hall of Fame. He was willing to change positions for his teammate to stay, only for that teammate to possibly change positions to chase money. Whenever we defend, or whenever people defend, shrewd moves in sports, they say, well, it's a business. And it is, make no mistake, but we don't watch 4-hour playoff games to see Chevron drill oil. We don't wear shirts with the names of our favorite restaurateurs on the back of them, or collect trading cards with the faces of dentists or lawyers on them. Sports is entertainment. And it's pretty damn entertaining to see a guy rep your hometown, embrace the community as his own, and deliver memories at the highest levels. And he has done that, and he has opportunities to make more money other places didn't, stayed here. So long story short, build that man his statue and make it as tall as the stadium, so it's proportionate to the joy and the memories that he has brought Houstonians over his time here. That's my soapbox. That's it for this episode of Stone Cold Strohs. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts in places like Apple or Spotify, do us a favor, give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you on Monday, but you don't have to wait that long to get yours in Sports Fix. So make sure, as breaking news happens, that you're subscribed to this channel, Sports Map Houston, Sports Map Texans, and we'll have more content for you as news breaks. Thanks for listening. For Charlie and Josh, until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.